Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1813. The topic is nutrition, and the title is, How Many Carbs Do I Need Around My Workout? This is a ridiculously complicated question, and there's an enormous amount to unpack if we were going to answer this. I'm going to get into it today, a little bit of details, but I am kind of just putting it out front that there's a lot more details that we could go into, but I wanted to discuss a couple of viewpoints I have with clients and a general approach to carbohydrate consumption around workouts. There's a lot of discussion whether you even need carbohydrates around workout times. Should you work out fasted? Should you work out fueled by fats instead? If you do an activity that would be better fueled by ketones rather than glucose, there's a lot. But let's get into it. If anybody has any specific follow-up questions, just shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll make a podcast for that question. Okay. So one of my clients, she trains for fat loss, strength, and muscle growth. So you want a little bit of everything. They do a great job tracking their foods. They track their calories, protein, meal timing, all the basics that we talk about. We add in tracking sugars. We also track fat. We have her doing a low-fat diet, which is going to give her more carbs in her diet, which will make her feel like she can eat more, as we've had some issues in the past, or she's had some issues in the past when in too severe of a diet, she gets really strong cravings, she overeats. So what we're trying to play with is, if we have more carbohydrates in her diets, she can have larger volume of food at her meals, and maybe that can help reduce the cravings. Now, you could also say that if you went high-fat foods, that could be more satiating, more filling. She wouldn't feel as hungry between meals. There's a lot of approaches. So we're trying an approach. And so far, it's working great. She's leaner. She's stronger. She has more muscle in the areas that we've been targeting. So everything's going well. Everything's improving. So of the options that we chose to use, it's going pretty good. Now, recently, she asked how many carbs she should be eating around her workout time, kind of specifically pre and intra workout and then post workout. So this is my answer in her journal. So all my clients have a journal. They can ask me anything they want 24/7. I go in that journal every single week, answer all the questions, do video reviews, do nutrition reviews, everything. So it's a pretty awesome service. So I wrote, the scientific answer is the bloodstream can only hold about 5 grams of glucose at one time. The metabolic rate of glucose in the intestines is around 1 gram per minute. But glucose technically starts absorbing through the cheek lining once it enters your mouth. And I wrote dot, 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 dot. I say all of this to say that there's a lot of variables and you'll hear a lot of different answers. My answer is, you want to feel as though you have good energy to complete your workouts, you're hydrated, and you're able to sustain that good energy from start to finish, but be able to do so without the need for caffeine. A lot of times people will use caffeine to mask feeling the feeling of being underfed. That really increases cortisol. Eventually caffeine, your body comes a little more like kind of tolerant to it, and you have to add that up even more. There's a lot of negative impact to caffeine-fueled fasted workouts that people aren't aware of until later on, whenever you have like all the problems. So the challenging part is, if you do a lot of caffeine and you work out fasted, it'll feel like a great idea for a little while, and then it starts to kind of go downhill. So we have a podcast that does talk about that. Let me make sure I can find that podcast for you, because it's something you can kind of like be careful of ahead of time. Now, here it is. Podcast 614. So that was back in May of 2020, but the information's still good. Podcast 614. You can find old podcasts on our website, www.brillerandjim.com. We have a podcast player that goes back 300 episodes. Underneath the player, we have descriptions on how to get to older podcasts. But Podcast 614 is a nutrition podcast titled The Effects of Caffeine-Fueled Fasted Workouts. Now, that's common when people are trying to lose fat. It's common in the CrossFit world, surprisingly. I mean, out of anybody who ever needs carbs, good God, CrossFit does. But it is common. So if you currently train fasted and you use a lot of caffeine and you're like, I feel totally fine, there might be something coming your way. You might fall off a cliff here in a little bit. So listen to Podcast 614, and that can kind of help you be more aware of what underlying troubles might be developing. So that's, again, what I really want clients to feel, is that they have good energy from start to finish in their workouts. And a good contributor to that is going to be carbohydrates, due to the type of workouts that most of these people are doing, which is roughly 40 to 90 minutes of intense weight training. There are, you know, if you do slow, steady runs, maybe you're running for, you know, 120 minutes, slow, steady pace, you could get away with ketones. But for most people, if they're lifting weights, 40-ish to 90-ish minutes, you know, intense weight training, carbohydrates is going to be a good fuel source, because that's what your body's going to be looking for. It's going to be breaking down glycogen, which is stored carbohydrates, like stored glucose in the muscle cells. It's going to be breaking down glycogen to get to glucose. So why not just give it a little bit of glucose along the way? Just kind of make that process a little bit easier. So for most people, around 20 to 40 grams of sugars pre and intra-workout are going to be totally fine. Some of my clients, we only consume protein pre-workout. It's because performance isn't really their goal, or they can't work out as intensely, they don't work out as long, so we don't have carbohydrates before the workout. But I have other clients that consume 100 grams of carbs in their pre and intra-workout. But, you know, that's just the way they train. It's super intense, and they burn through it, and they're lean and mean and looking good. So, you know, if it's working, why change it? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, that kind of thing. So typically 20 to 40 grams pre and intra workout, and then 20 to 60 grams of carbs post workout would be a general good recommendation for most people. There are going to be outliers out the wazoo who maybe want more carbs after the workout. Maybe people don't want as many carbs after the workout. There's a lot of variation to it. But it gives you a lot that you can kind of play with. If you like more carbs during the day, this client, for example, works out early in the morning, and then she has the whole rest of the day to go. So it would probably be good to kind of spread her carbs out throughout the day so she has more kind of available energy and feels a little more pep in her step. But if you train in the evening, you might not want all the carbs after the workout. If you don't really need them, you just put in some fats and protein and go to bed. So it's really individual dependent or individual choice as to how you would distribute your carbohydrates, if you have any, post-workout, whether you want a big lump sum post-workout or whether you want to trickle it out throughout the rest of the day or you want to avoid carbs altogether after the workout. Part of the reason would be what you would want to consider is if you're doing an activity that is glycogen depleting, meaning an activity that's intense for, again, I'm just giving rough time frames, intense weight training, 40 to 90 minutes. That's going to cover, you know, a good portion of the population lifting weights. Is you're going to deplete glycogen stores during that type of training. And again, what that is just glucose that's stored in the muscles. If you work out in the evening, you can deplete your glycogen, but you don't have to replenish that right away. You can just go to bed with a low glycogen level and just not worry about overeating carbs, don't have to worry about any kind of risk of overeating your calories or anything right before you go to bed. You can just go to bed with a low glycogen and then fill up your carbs throughout the day, the next day. Have a really high carb breakfast, have a high carb lunch. And then by the time you train in the evening again, some of that glycogen is back to being replenished. And then all of a sudden you get to have a great workout. If you train early in the morning, then you do want to have carbs throughout the day to try to get your glucose back up to a nice tip-top level. So that way, when you wake up the next day to work out, you have some glycogen available. So again, it's very independent on how you want to distribute your carbohydrates and whether you even want to use them. So the client then said, after I wrote her the entry, she said that one of the reasons she asked was on her higher calorie day, we have a little bit of caloric cycling, which anybody should do. Is if, you know, days you're more active, eat more, days you're less active, eat less. That she ended up eating 60 grams of carbs at her dinner. And she wondered if that was something that she needed to correct or avoid in the future. Well, in general, if you're eating an appropriate caloric intake and protein intake, then you're not going to gain body fat by having a lot of carbs at night. If you're still in a caloric deficit and or like caloric maintenance, then those energy calories will be allocated by the body and go towards fueling necessary processes in the body. This is one of the reasons why intermittent fasting works for weight control and fat loss. Even if you eat all of your food at a small evening window, but you track your calories and protein to your needs, you don't gain body fat. You can actually lose body fat. So the reason why I like to have clients consume carbs before their workouts is that it gives them better energy. It kind of reduces cortisol, body stress, and often we do it through a fluid, which helps them hydrate better going into the workout. So there's a lot of benefits to it physiologically and also just kind of mentally is, okay, I know I drank this drink, I know I should have energy, I'm going to kick ass in this workout. So there's even that psychological component to having something pre-workout that makes you feel like you're ready, feel like you're fueled. This is why a lot of supplements, like fat loss supplements, for example, can motivate people to eat cleaner, because now they feel like they have something helping them other than just the food. There's now more purpose to eating clean because they have extra help. So that psychological effect is very noteworthy, very significant, and it is something to consider. Now, again, with the concept of carbohydrates pre-workout, there was an interesting article that another client of mine sent, a different client. She sent this article where these people who do kind of nutrition knowledge, they wrote an Instagram post on why you don't need carbs right before a workout. And they said, do not drink an excessive amount of sugar right before exercise. It is simply not worth it. What's funny is I'll go through and kind of give you more details. But even in the comments, people just like obliterated them and said, like, what are you talking about? Like, carbs have been shown to be helpful, blah, 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 blah. And then what the author said is that, well, we technically said don't drink an excessive amount of sugar. We didn't really mean don't drink anything, like don't drink any carbs, don't drink sugars, just not excessive. So it's like one of those clickbait things, is if they titled it why you don't need carbs right before a workout, people are going to read it, and then they get kind of called out on it being extreme. They then say that, well, we said excessive, and it's like, you know, you're not doing anybody a favor, you're just muddling the waters of an already confusing topic. So the client sent me that, and they asked what my thoughts were. So I want to read back the response that I sent this client. So I wrote, thank you for sending this. It's kind of funny in what they're comparing. So essentially what they were saying in the article was, you shouldn't drink carbs before a workout because it doesn't have time to convert to glycogen. And then your glycogen is what your body breaks down to get glucose. So their argument was, don't drink glucose because it doesn't have time to be converted to glycogen to then be broken back down to glucose. Now, technically, they're right. Yes, you can, like, if I drink sugar, like glucose, and then in 10 minutes I expect it to be stored and formed as glycogen so I can then take it back out and use it, that time frame is inappropriate. But why the hell would I have the explanation, like expectation of it being converted to glycogen to then just be available for glucose anyhow? So, what I wrote again was, thank you for sending this. It's kind of funny what they're comparing. Why you'd want high glycogen is so that you exercise, as you exercise, your body can break the glycogen down to glucose to provide fuel. I stuttered through that a little bit. Let me go through that again. Why you would want high glycogen is so that as you exercise, your body can break the glycogen down to glucose to provide fuel. So why you want glycogen is because glycogen can be broken down to glucose. This means you have to exert energy first, unfueled, for the body to then realize the process of breaking down glycogen is necessary to provide glucose for the energy demand. But when you consume sugars, glucose, before the workout, your body can start the workout properly fueled. Then, as you continue in the workout, the body registers that glucose levels are lowering, so it starts the glycogen breakdown process. But instead of waiting until glycogen is broken down to actually have the glucose that you need, you were able to start with glucose already in your system if you drink glucose pre-workout. So, if you go the glycogen only, no glucose before workouts, you start your workout with no energy, you wait for the body to break the glycogen down to get the energy, and maybe by then you're already done or the body can't break it down fast enough to meet the demand, so your performance is lessened. Or you can have glucose first, still get the delayed benefit of glycogen breakdown, but you get to start with freaking energy right now, so you get a much better performance outcome. So the point of consuming glucose pre-workout isn't to create glycogen. It is to provide what glycogen would be broken down for. The post is arguing that glucose wouldn't have time to be formed into glycogen, true, but glycogen would then be reconverted back to glucose anyhow, so why not just consume the glucose so you have it when you start? My client wrote, "Thank you," in all capital letters. So the reason why I'm saying all this, and it can feel a little overwhelming because I feel like as though I'm just rambling at this point, is there are so many opinions, and there's cherry picking of different data points to make whatever point you want to make. But in general, it is better to exercise in a state in which the body is fed for the workout. Whether you do that with fats or carbs would depend on the type of activity. But in general, if you do weight training, intense weight training for 40 to 90 minutes, carbohydrates would be a really good choice because that's what your body is going to be looking for as fuel. And you'd want enough to feel like you have sustainable energy throughout the workout. The reason why this is so complicated is if somebody eats a low-carb diet, they're going to need more carbs pre and intra-workout because they don't have as much glycogen storage. If somebody eats a high-carb diet and they have excessive total caloric intake, or at least maintenance level, they're going to have more available glycogen, therefore they don't need as much glucose pre-workout. So it really depends on the type of diet that you follow, and that's a big fat assumption that you actually follow a damn diet every single day. So if you were running around and super busy yesterday and you didn't get the normal foods you had, you're coming in with depleted glycogen. You should have more glucose before today's workout. But if yesterday you sat around the house, you didn't do much, ate a bunch of rice and chicken, and you're like, man, my glycogen store should be packed up, then you probably don't need as much glucose to start the workout. So it's something that is conditional dependent, individual dependent, diet dependent. Good gosh, there's so many dependencies. So again, you want to have enough fuel coming in so you have energy throughout the whole workout. And then having carbs post-workout starts replenishing the glycogen so you have stored energy ready for the next day's workout or any activities that you do in between the workouts. So it can be complicated, but most people don't need to get into those crazy details. If you have the right amount of calories, protein, and then you distribute your calories and protein correctly, meal timing, that's going to cover everything. That's why, like on the website, www.brutalirongym.com, you can go to free nutrition education page. The first document on that page is how to create your own nutrition program. You can literally follow the steps, write your own nutrition program. That'll take care of calories, protein, and meal timing. Then for advanced athletes and competitors, we just focus on the same freaking components, calories, protein, and meal timing, but we're more intentional with food selection to better match digestion timing so the nutrients are available in the bloodstream when we need them throughout the day for various times and various reasons. So we get way more specific with food selection and based on digestion quality, like timing, but also do you digest it well. So we get into the deeper details, but it's only once calories, protein, and meal timing are already covered. And most people don't need to get into digestion timing of food selection for the most part. It's helpful, sure, but a lot of people just have a lot of things going on in their life and they can't always get to the exact right food every single meal. So it's better for them just to watch calories, protein, and total distribution. Okay, so in general, if you weight train 40 to 90 minutes, I do believe carbs are a good choice. Aim for 20 to 40 grams pre-workout, 20 to 60 grams post-workout, and then just kind of adjust it how you feel. If you try the 20 to 40 grams pre-workout and you're like, oh, I didn't even finish the whole thing, fine. You know, if you start with 40 grams, go down to 20. If you started at 20 and you didn't even finish it, you can drop down to 10, but I would argue maybe try to get used to drinking more so that way you're more hydrated as well during the workout. So that is my very long-winded explanation of my opinion. I do believe that carbs pre- and intra-workout are helpful. In bodybuilding clients, I do typically add protein as well, like a whey isolate protein intra-workout. So that way their body has just kind of the building blocks of protein synthesis available. They have the carbohydrates to help fuel that process as well as the workout. So it can get a little more complicated than what it's coming across in today's podcast, but I thought this was at least a good enough level to start before we would deep dive and make it any more confusing. So if you have any follow-up questions, shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll make a podcast to answer that question so we can all learn from it. Again, the whole point of the podcast, why I do this every day and why I want it to be free, is just to help. I want to help. There is so much clutter in the fitness industry that I want to just give, as we say in the title, like the brutal truth. I just want to give the honest, straightforward truth, stuff that I know has worked. You know, I've been working out for 25 years. I've trained people for 21 years. So I've been doing this a lot, and I've helped people, you know, elite totals and powerlifting, pro cards, tested and non-tested in aesthetic sports. I've helped Olympic athletes, professional athletes, you name it. So I have a wide variety of experience with a lot of different clientele, and I would love to just be able to synthesize all the chaos and give you the straightforward stuff. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully if you have any questions, you continue to reach out, even if it's other topics. Just always shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening, and I hope this always helps. So, cool. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.